Hello, welcome to Czech Books. There is a very long and rich Czech tradition of children's book illustration, from Mikuláš Aleš in the 19th century to Zdeněk Miller of Mol fame and Jiří Tenka in the 20th century. In fact, the first picture book for children in Europe was produced by the Czech educator Comenius in the 17th century. An important part of this tradition is the illustrator Štěpán Zavřel, a charismatic and influential artist who escaped to Italy from communist Czechoslovakia in 1959 and established the biggest centre for children's book illustration in Europe in a small town 60 kilometres north of Venice. This autumn, to mark the 10th anniversary of his death in 1999, a collection of accounts by those who knew him will be published, and I met with the editor of this retrospective, the poet and translator Tomáš Mika, to discuss Zavřel's importance for the world of children's books. Hello, Tomáš.
Hello, Bernie.
Can you tell me something about this project, which is hoping to inform the Czech Republic about this wonderful national treasure that they have that they don't really know enough about?
This treasure is called Štěpán Zavřel, and he's a world-famous illustrator of children's books and also author of some of them, who is a recognized figure in this field all over the world, especially in Italy where he lived, but also elsewhere. The books that he illustrated were translated into tens of languages. And he is virtually unknown in his home country, which I think is a pity, and many others think it's a pity. And there is a group of Italians who work on this project and who came with the idea to present Štěpán Zavřel in his home country. These people, I should mention their names, are Alessandro Catalano, who is an editor of the Souvislosti magazine where the presentation will be done. Then there is Marina Tacik, who wrote her diploma work on Štěpán Zavřel from the art point of view. And there's Massimo De Martin, who lived very near to Štěpán, who knew Štěpán personally, who then moved to Prague. I never asked whether it was under his influence or not, though he came with the idea. This is how it all came about.
So this presentation in the autumn in Souvislosti, which is one of the leading serious literary journals in this country, you hope will reach a wider audience and maybe lead to an exhibition of Štěpán Zavřel's work?
Well, that would be the ultimate goal, to make his exhibition in Prague or somewhere else in the Czech Republic, because his works were only exhibited here in 1993 at a collective exhibition of the Bohem Press publishing house, which he co-founded back in the 70s with Otakar Bożejovský.
Despite living for most of his life in Italy since 1959, he managed to escape ingeniously. He always kept his Czech citizenship.
Yes, that's true, and he also kept a huge picture of Charles Bridge in his house, and it was just opposite the entrance door, so when you entered you saw this yellowish picture of the Charles Bridge, and there were many Czech books in his library, and he never was one of those who have difficulties speaking Czech after a couple of years. He was there, as you said, most of his life, and he always spoke perfect Czech. He prepared for emigration apparently for quite a long time, and it's probably because he loved freedom. He loved freedom so much that he simply couldn't stand the life under the communist regime of the time. And he chose Italy probably for artistic reasons, because Italy is full of art that he loved only from pictures. And here he had the opportunity, which he used profoundly, to study art. He was such a treasure of knowledge about everything that concerned art, especially in the ancient art that he loved. He wasn't much of a modernist, although his own art is modern. His illustrations or his approach was very modern. He was deeply rooted in tradition.
I've had a look through the presentation, which is comprised of recollections of family, of friends, fellow artists, various people who knew Štěpán. And what comes across time after time is the incredibly charismatic personality of the man and the impact he had on everyone who knew him.
I'm not a painter or an artist, but the way artists that he taught speak about him, you can see that he was a really very good teacher in kind of a Zen Buddhist way, when he sometimes completely destroyed the work of his students, who then hated him, but eventually found out that probably that was the right thing to do. So yeah, he was a very charismatic person, definitely.
He settled in a tiny little hamlet called Rucolo on the edge of a small village, Salmede. And he established there not only an amazing house, which seemed to be constantly full of visitors, but he also established a huge international festival of children's book illustrations, which is the biggest in Europe. And he also established a summer school for children's book illustrators, and so has been hugely influential. And I've heard a couple of people refer to this little area as Zavzelland, which is a nice counterpoint to maybe Disneyland.
Yes, I only read this in some of the contributors to this Souvislosti blog on Štěpán, Zavzelland. But when I first saw it, I immediately had the idea of arches, mosaic, and frescoes, because Štěpán reintroduced these three art forms into that area. He told the local people, look, you had this in ancient times. There were arches all over the place, there were mosaic floors, and you forgot about it. You built these boxes of houses with no aesthetic feeling, and he learned these trades, how to do it, and he first did it in his own house, and then people wanted him to do it in their houses too, so it spread. So around Sarmede and Rugolo and in the whole region of Treviso, there are many houses with stone arches and beautiful mosaic floors and fresco all over the place. Sarmede is the best example because there are frescoes really all over them, not just by him but also by his students.
I mentioned in the introduction to our conversation now this fantastic tradition in the Czech Republic, or former Czechoslovakia, of children's book illustration. What do you think that Zavzel's contribution was?
It was a combination of things. Probably one of the reasons was that this tradition was so strong in Czechoslovakia and very poor in many other countries, like in Italy. Apparently, from what I heard, there was almost no tradition of children's illustration before him, so he simply brought the know-how and spread it in the right way. So that's probably one of the reasons.
When you look at his books, how would you describe them?
They always give a very harmonic, a very peaceful look. The colors are in harmony and they are really pleasant to look at in many ways. From what I heard from other people, his contribution was this comprehensive view of the book for children, that he didn't view illustrations as something added to the text, but he always saw the book as integrated. So he read the text, he invented some first ideas about how the illustration should work, and then he worked both with the text and the illustration so that it flowed through the book, both the text and pictures, in an integrated way.
Much of Štěpán Zavzel's work has been associated with Christmas themes or Christian themes.
Well, he was a Catholic. He comes from a very religious family, but he was this kind of big Catholic who didn't like to obey very much, who had this very strong love for freedom. So there was this big tension in him, in his personality, and this was probably one of the sources of his art, because it was, I think, really strong. On one hand, he did marvelous Christian books for children, and his biggest work was illustrations of the Children's Bible, which was a really thick book, very successful, his last major work in the 90s. But it definitely was not only harmonious for him to be such a strong believer, it also brought about big disasters in his personal life, apparently.
One thing that struck me when I was looking at the recollections of people who had known him was he seemed to be something of a whirlwind, that you somehow got caught up in him, but also a very hospitable person who seemed to be one of those people who had a genius for friendship.
Well, since he never married, as one of the contributors suggested, he had this replacement family, or this family of his friends, which he really hosted generously at his house. Trugolo.
This energy he had seemed often to spin off into adventures.
Yes, there are many adventures recorded by his friends, and I just remember the first time we came there in 1990, the very same day after all day work and drinking and everything, he suddenly decided that we go to Norcia, which was, I don't know, 200 kilometers from that place. at midnight, and it all took several days to get there. We had many stops, and at one point, I remember somewhere in Tuscany, we decided to sleep in the open air, and he took his eiderdown because he never used sleeping bags, so he had this huge eiderdown, and we climbed across a fence next to the road, and he said, well, there is something written here. I hope it's not hunting season warning or something, and it was too dark to see, so we climbed the fence, and we slept under the starry sky, and everything was really beautiful. And then very early in the morning, we heard Japan screaming, oh my god, it's the hunting season, I was right, can you hear the dogs? And we could hear the barking of the dogs, and we could hear people shooting, said, oh, these Italians, they are really crazy, go away, everybody go away, wake up, they will shoot us all, the dogs will eat us, you know. And we were really scared, of course, he was exaggerating, and yeah, so he was like that.
On the website, we will be putting up a lot of the illustrations from his book so people can really see the magical quality. This is a word that's often used in association with his drawings. And what comes over for me very much is the respect he had for the world of the child's imagination, that he really felt it was a thing that should be honoured and given the best craft possible.
In his illustrations, you can see so many motifs taken from the Czechoslovak reality of the time of his childhood, in the 30s and 40s, which is absolutely amazing. So he was a child himself, and he had a respect for children's imagination, definitely. I remember him being sometimes pretty nervous with real children. I remember he was pretty nervous when my child was screaming at some point because he wanted something. He was 3 years old, and he took him, and he had an open-air aquarium in front of his house with some goldfish, and he took the child, and he said, if you don't stop screaming, I'll put you there with the fish. And my son stopped screaming immediately. And then he painted a little fish for my child with a little pacifier or dummy in the fish mouth, which he still has. He's now 13 and it's hanging in his room. So I think it was more the respect for childhood in general, for the child in himself. And I think his art took him to his own childhood, and somehow it worked with the others as well.
I hope very much that all of the work that you and the others are doing to tell more people about this really wonderful illustrator will have an impact. And also let Czech people know that such a great Czech artist is so highly regarded in the rest of the world, and maybe it's about time that they also realise just how fantastic he is. So thank you very, very much, Tomáš.
And I thank you very much, Bernie.